Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNNewsroom.wordpress.go. All one phrase, there it is. Make that BASN Newsroom at wordpress.com. Excuse my English here. Anyway, it's Super Bowl week. We've come all this way to get to that most important time where we see sometimes the most banal stuff get mixed in with the most important stuff. Now, I don't have to tell you, being black in this society is always a challenge. And the biggest challenge is when they fuck with you and try to imply superiority. That game has always been run, and it's always been run, and it's always been used to show what they can show in certain instances. One time, it noticeably backfired on him, and that was the 1936 Olympics when how Hitler himself tried to prove to the world that the Aryan race was superior, and he got his ass waxed by one Jesse Owens and Ralph Metcalf and a few other brothers, but specifically Owens, who earned 4 gold medals and basically told them to shut the fuck up. We have the Super Bowl here, and may not be the same kind of things on the line, but the inference is there. I got my main man, Gary Norris, Gray Riding Shotgun with me. What's up, Gene?
If I hear another word about Brock Purdy, I'm going to smack him against that head.
I hear that. We also have my brother, Tony McClain, with us. What's up, T?
Turn off your TV, Gary. It ain't hard. Just turn off the TV until 6:39 on Sunday.
See, it's not that.
You know what, guys? Michael is right. Michael's right when you said about black and white things. Now, these fellas up. They fellas up. It's Patty Mahomes 4 years ago. All right? Now, Patty Mahomes is black. Oh, we have an election award.
No doubt. Gary, they didn't like him then either. Don't fool yourself.
You got that right.
They tolerated him, but no, it's the new toy syndrome. That's all. It's just the new toy syndrome. Nothing
That's
more,
exactly
nothing less.
Right. Mm-hmm. We all know we've all competed at various levels. Whenever it's a black-white situation, competition-wise, they will always use us as the barometer to prove one's better than the other. It doesn't matter if it's tiddlywinks. It'll always be used to say, well, the white guy's tiddlywinks were better, and his brain was the reason why that went in the cup and not the black guy's tiddlywinks. We know everything that they do is about order. And even in the games people play, it becomes even more insidious. Now, when they created this game, the whole idea was for them to make money. Now, they really made money. And and on top of everything else, they want to make money and make a point. Last Super Bowl, We had our first Soul Bowl. Two black quarterbacks played well.
Thank you, Soul Bowl. Like,
excuse me, that's right. Played well. They executed well. And the only reason one team lost is that the other one ran out of time. Now, you have the obvious black versus white. The game has been set up in a lot of different ways. When we got to the Final Four, we thought Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, and Brock Purdy. One way or another, it looked like it was going to be a black versus white opposition thing, and we got one. But we got two quarterbacks who should be defying the nonsense, but they play right into it. Brock Purdy, or Shucks White Boy from Iowa State, who plays for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, he may be good, but he ain't that damn good, at least not yet. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes II, Mixkid, comes out of Texas Tech, has not ever experienced a losing season, and has been in the playoffs every year since his inception, since he came into the league. 6 years in a row, two Super Bowls. I mean, how can you write anything negative, Tony, against a record like that?
Well, it's look, we all know that there's the black and white angle. That's always been there. That's never, you know, from Jesse Owens to Jack Johnson to Ali to Jim Brown or whatever. But see,
yeah,
the other thing, at least for me now, and this is one of the reasons why I just do the events and not the pre and post game and all the hype and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Greatness is not what's the word I'm looking for? Greatness is not seen as a virtue.
Right.
It's more, it's you know, the, you know, between the wanting to compare the eras and all the, now look, the comparing of eras have been going on forever. That's something that's never going to end. But
that's true.
What is so bothersome now is that, and, you know, it's beyond the whole we're in the ESPN-ization of sports. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm flipping through Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and there's a guy has a meme with a picture of Dennis Rodman. Greatest rebounder of all time. No one can tell me anything different. Now, was Rodman a great rebounder in his era? Absolutely.
Yes.
You could definitely make the argument that he's the best of his era. But
right.
when you play the GOAT game, nah, you have to bring in if you're going to talk about greatest of all time, your greatest of all time can't be from the time that you were living till now. That's it's ignorant, it's selfish, and it's incorrect, because when mm-hmm. you're encompassing greatest of all time, you have to go back before then. To mm-hmm. you know, here's the thing, you know, we the whole GOAT, and we'll stay in the NBA. Now, in an era when stats wasn't as and analytics were nothing went around. Was an era when Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell would routinely have 30, 40 rebound games.
Right.
You go pre-1982, guys like Deacon Jones, Big Daddy Lipscomb, Coy Bacon, and others. Would have 15, 20 sacks by midseason.
Yep. That's right.
And see, NFL Films could do, if NFL Films wanted to just say, okay, we're going to designate you three guys or gals to look up all the sacks pre-1982 before it became an official stat. They could do that, but they choose not to.
Well, I'll tell you one better, because they did. I interviewed Deacon Jones when he was part ownership of the Calgary Stampeders in the CFL, and Deacon related that the people at the CBS affiliate checked all his games and they counted 28 sacks in 1 year. Now, I don't know how much that adds up to, but at least that year, he said that was getting after it, and we can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, the official record, I believe, is 21 and a half or 22.
22 and a half. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. So, now, and mind you, Deacon did it in 14-game season.
That's right.
And it may have been 12, T-Mac, at that time.
You know what? Yeah. Now that I think about it. But even with that being said, I mean, here's the thing. This is not to take anything away from Barry Sanders and Terrell Davis, Chris Johnson, Eric Dickerson, or who am I forgetting? Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis.
Yeah.
OJ did his 2K
AP
in 14,
Adrian
in 14
Peterson
games.
Too.
Adrian Peterson, yes, thank you. OJ did his 2K in 14 games.
14, yes.
Yes, he did.
You know, now football didn't
with a
whack
team.
And football, to their credit, they didn't pull the Ford Frick thing and do it an asterisk. They just said, you know, they included everyone. But see, the thing is, I say all of that to basically say, and this includes the whole thing with Purdy, in a sense, because see, I still don't really know how good this kid is. I'll just say that much. On the surface, he looks like he's going to be a decent player, but.
Mm-hmm.
As we invoke the Butt Sisters again, Mahomes has already been back and forth where Purdy is trying to be.
Exactly. But see, T-Mac, real quick, hold your thought. It's a package deal. It's the small cue ball football. It's the package deal, Purdy / McCaffrey. Package deal.
Oh, yes.
Small, I mean, I like the knowledge that's always shared here. Is there someone who was born Caucasian in the top 10 or top 15 all-time in rushing? Probably not.
I don't think so. I don't
right?
think so. I think the last,
and then the,
I think
the, then
last
the running
guy,
backs,
I want to say,
right?
the
Mike
last
covered
guy,
it really well, had a real challenge getting signed, correct? They had Zoom meetings. How do we get signed? Dang.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But McCaffrey is, you know, he's not this Bo Jackson super brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
A super, you know, gargantuan athlete.
Yep.
But look what he's doing. You know, another brothers can't get signed. So he's like shredding, allegedly, the running back thing. That it's just the new model for the running back, the McCaffrey thing, right? He had all the touchdowns plus Purdy. And what I watch about the 49ers, because you can see them all the time here, they really push that small cue ball, you know, the color of the cue ball, football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And while you're at it, Eric, I think the last guy that I want to say that was in, like, the top 10 or the top 15 might have been John David Crow. I think it goes back.
Oh,
I
way back. Oh, you're talking about back
yeah,
in like the day, the Rocco Nagurski type day, you know.
Yeah. John David Crow is part of a great trivia question. Brown led the league in rushing 8 of his 9 years. Who was the one guy that led it the 1 year he didn't? It was John David Crow for a very, very, very bad Cardinals team. But see, the thing is, like you said, and the NFL to me, the NFL is probably the most egregious, although the NBA is starting to get there too. Because
it's horrible.
They fanned the flames with the whole, you know, Jordan and James thing. Look, this is undisputed. This is undisputed. The way the Wilt Chamberlain made them change the rules of the game. The paint, goaltending, all of that.
From college to the pros.
Exactly.
The offensive goaltending rule was scary. Tex Winter, you know, real quick to that point, I wanted to have you go back. But Tex Winter, right, Mr. Triangle himself, right? Hey, he created the triangle offense for the championship Bulls. He's a longtime collegiate coach. Mm-hmm. When Wilt came to Kansas, right, he scouted a game. And he literally, and he's known for this, for his vitriol. He literally watched Chamberlain, I think it was a follow-through from a free throw. And he literally reported watching him take off from the free throw line at a game. And he instituted a rule about the offensive goaltending because he realized that the way Wilt was through the pushback, he instituted a rule to wipe that out, to take points away. So, in other words, like being great in sports does not mean getting a great recognition because what else can you do, right? The NBA, they just pimp everything. So you mentioned LeBron. So their discourse with LeBron is always to say, his 21st year. So the rule of thumb is not to say he's 39. So they constantly say it's his 21st. It's his 21st year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the dictate.
My baby is 78 months.
Yeah, exactly. We've been on air for 92 minutes. Things of that sort. But see, the Niner narrative is a combo deal. It's the Purdy. Mr. Irrelevant, right? Last pick in the draft, correct?
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Third string QB, all these things. He drives his first day with a Tacoma truck.
Exactly.
And he shows up in his Wranglers, whatever he wears. Right? And then you got McCaffrey. He comes from the football family, right? His father was a receiver with the Broncos. And there's some other McCaffrey still floating around out there, too, playing. And so he is the way he set records, right, for touchdowns, for running back, or consistency, all that kind of thing like that. It's the combo deal. And then you get the Devos, who you don't even hear from no more, or an IU, right? They're not even on the front end of it. It's the Purdy McCaffrey show.
And even
when they don't talk about them, they talk about the tight end, George Kittle. They don't talk about anybody.
On how his haircut has innovated so many folks too. But that's
then Bosa's like he's getting broken off more than anybody. So they have all pros at every position. Ward at linebacker, they got a really good secondary.
Mm-hmm.
They got a really good offensive line Pro Bowl. They have Pro Bowlers at every position. The Niners. Mm-hmm. But it's none of that cumulatively in terms of their personnel, which makes Purdy, because it's the cumulative factor. And that's what it is. But they do a really good job of pushing the narrative. So Purdy, is considered what Cam called him, what, system quarterback. Well, he's right. He's right. I mean, Shanahan draws it up, and he locks into it. He's pouring into the pass rush. Right, you got to get to him, and he'll knuckle down. He'll start flubbing. He'll start tripping.
That's what they
did. Under the bright lights, I don't think he can hold his water in the Super Bowl bright lights. He's going to make a lot of missed throws.
Eric just touched on a really important point. What we are seeing and what we're going to see, complete with the nonsense that will be the announcing of the game, is the fact that they want to show you that this combination of white athletes will beat this team of primarily black athletes. Now, even in the days when the original San Francisco 49ers were playing, the guys who were
talking about the Montana era?
Yes, Montana Rice, Roger Craig,
Walsh.
Exactly. They were respected because it wasn't lorded over. Joe Montana
Correct.
Was good. He showed
he could
was
ball.
Good. Nobody
could
had
ball.
To hype him up. He could ball. Exactly.
He could ball.
Nobody can say the same thing about this Purdy. He's won a couple of games. So what? The bottom line is he hasn't proved it. Patrick Mahomes has proved he proved more in the Super Bowl he lost, far more than the Super Bowls he won, because when he was running for his life in the game
running
he was losing,
running for his life,
he
talking about the Tampa Bay Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. He was firing bullets, and the ironic thing was, he was accurate as all get out. They were dropping his passes. People forget about that shit. I was like, how the fuck did he get that ball there? And
Kansas
boom.
Kansas City's GM might should have been, you know, fired. I mean, he could not find better alignment. They lost their offensive alignment.
They sure
you know,
did.
Like, what, a couple of injuries, correct, going to the game?
Yeah.
And they all admitted, there's Reed and others, that was, you know, we could have did better. I don't care who the quarterback is, especially against a Todd Bowles defense. If he can't get time to throw, he's a sitting duck, and that's what he was.
Yeah. That's right.
They effed him. They beat him down that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And see, think about this historically, not just about sports, but, you know, whether it's the Three-Fifths Amendment, whether
right.
it's the alleged gains that were given on the alleged Voting Rights Act. I'm reminded of a line from All in the Family when Archie Bunker goes on and
Archie
on about
Bunker reference.
How,
okay.
Yeah, but it's subtle, but it says everything.
Right, right.
Like, hey, I didn't have everybody out there cheering and protesting so I could get my job. Yeah, you got hired by your uncle, Edith says.
Right.
And to me,
right.
And to
right.
me,
with five felonies on your record.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It epitomizes, you know, politics, sports, music, everything. Everything, all we're at anything and everything that we've done, they've always have tried to marginalize, or and even when it's something extraordinary that they really can't
conceive, mentally understand.
Exactly. It's not that these girls are great athletes. It has to be black girl magic. It can't. It has to be black girls.
Right.
Yeah.
You
Super
know?
Negro. Yeah.
I
mean, you're rich with the references today, the Coy Bacon and the Archie Bunker references. I mean, gee, hey, man, I tip my cap. When it comes down to
Eric, it just means
yes,
I need to get out the house more, but that's okay.
Exactly, and so. To your point, the point is valid because, you know, Black Belt Jones, Jim Kelly, right? You know, when he was, you know, in that joint, you know, in that flick. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, he made a reference to they wanted to recruit him because the cops or the government agency, they just could not crack the code. And then they kept telling him, hey, man, take the job. We'll pay you this. We'll pay you that. And he's like, yeah, this is impossible. He said, let me tell you something. Everyone's black is not your super nigga.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know? But
and
the narrative for this one, man,
guy.
it's the McCafferty Purdy show. Forget Debo. Forget Fred Ward. Forget, you know, the great defensive line.
That's what they will concentrate their mouths on. Exactly.
You know, that's what it's about there, yes.
And extol the virtues of their whiteness. Brock Purdy will be a pure passer, and McCaffrey will be this unbelievable running back.
But Mike, remember how they look, right? There's no long hair. There's crew cuts. They look like FBI agents, right?
He just looks like a football player.
Agent Purdy and Agent McCaffrey, right?
Yep.
You ain't lying.
Somewhere Ephraim Zimlis Jr. is proud and right in Lincoln.
Ephraim, yeah.
You know?
No shit.
Literally, I mean, if you do the visuals, and you're trying to create this new superstar mannerism, I mean, this ain't the punky QB known as McMahon.
And it's exactly what they want. It fits the diet. It fits
exactly. It's the phenotype, man. It's the template.
Exactly. I got Patrick Farrar with me. He understands. He's worked in the front office. Patrick, is Brock Purdy straight out of the NFL's version of central casting? And getting
first of all, guys, it's good to be with you early.
Mr. Farrar.
You know, it's been roughly let's go losing running around. But glad to be with you.
Harold Melvin has entered the building in the embodiment of Patrick Farrar.
Well, I got a Harold Melvin story, you know. Anyway, I do got one.
Okay.
Somebody went to school with I know that's another story. The thing that I'm interested in, and it falls in line with somebody I talked to yesterday. One of my former students who were interns, a very bright young man, he's working with a company that's involved with making commercials, and they got two commercials that are coming on the Super Bowl. And last year, one of them won. So I saw him very briefly because he stays busy. But he's a big football fan. But ironically, you mentioned Purdy and McCaffrey. One thing that I was intrigued about McCaffrey along the lines, everything you're talking about, what he is something different from what they usually see.
Absolutely.
How many commercials does he have?
I think one.
I will share this. In NorCal region, he's been turning up a lot.
Yeah, okay.
I see. Mm-hmm. So McCaffrey's been on the move. Purdy is advertised as, remember, this is the non-bling, non-materialist, non-Bugatti, non-designer, non-swag, non-brand.
Non-Super Negro.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, plain James envelope, but they can outball all these bling-centric Negroes.
Mm-hmm. Your point is well taken. Your point is well taken. And what he said, Jordan said, that the company that he worked for, of course, the commercial was done back in June. They're just in the finishing touches. That when the season got going, Coin Madden made that big run before the Browns beat them, considered they had to wanted to restructure something to include him. Then he went in that 3-game losing streak. He said that's when the negotiations changed. So you're right about how they want to position these people. And the thing that I'm intrigued about this game is that everything that you want to be intrigued about is there. They have so many stories that
it's
people
on the
want
table.
To put out.
It's Vegas,
oh,
too.
Man.
I mean, people are going to be betting. I mean, the statistics are already out.
Yes.
This is the greatest betting sports event in the history of sports betting based
there
on locale, team makeup, and the current environment of gaming. It's nothing close than this one on the betting guys.
Oh, is that, Eric? As the eyes aid tickets and room ever.
And guess what? We're not even talking about the illegal betting.
No, oh, man, the underground, the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But on the books.
Yeah.
This is the top betting scenario, and location has a lot to do with it, too.
Yes.
Because you
yes.
can be on scene and take bets as simple, will the 49ers get 5 first downs in the first quarter, or will they get 7? Place your bet.
Right. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Forget the final score, where all the money's tied up. There's quarterly betting. There's statistical betting. Who will have the better game? What betting odds on MVP? So what? You know, you do the betting odds on MVP. I don't know. I haven't looked at these things. Hypothetical. Mahomes is 42%. Purdy's 39%. Kelsey's 18%, right? McCaffrey's 16%. Place your bet.
And see, that was basically, if I may use an old phrase, those type of exotic bets was part of the Shetland circuit, in a sense, of betting.
Yes, it was.
Now,
we were the masters of the game. You know, the whole, what they called the policy back in the day.
Exactly. Yeah. And see, and again,
it's
like
a policy system.
And then now, like the line from Hoodlum,
Well, I mean, Joe Louis was backed by the top numbers gamers, you know, in his management team. That's how pronounced it was. The Negro Leagues were financed a lot by the gaming system. Right?
Yes,
even Rose had his piece in the numbers game.
Yes.
We created the whole lottery system, you know. I mean, the whole lottery system is built on our community knowingness,
right?
And so when you look at it, I like how you said that. You're 1,000% correct, the exotic bets, because, yes, that's been going on forever. I mean, they talked about, you know, Marvin Gaye being in a vehicle with, I think, Berry Gordy or someone like that, right? And it was a rainy day. And Marvin said, hey, man, they were looking at raindrops running down from the window. You know how they would just race down, right, when you would look out the window? You know, they placed their bets on which raindrop would drop fastest.
Right. And like that line from Hoodlum, when them nigga pennies become nigga dollars, then all of a sudden everybody wants in. And in a sense
Godfather one. Sonny Corleone at the dinner table.
Gentlemen,
with the number system buying them Cadillacs.
Let me add this sister
jumped in. Dad never pops never talked about it. You know, business at the table.
Now, let me add this to you. In Jersey City, New Jersey, it's known for shenanigans. Anybody that knows better knows Jersey City is, man, we got guys who have money in garages and got caught. But that's another story.
Well, there were some people. Yeah, I got to keep this open-ended. So there were some people in Miami, right? And they were telling me, and a young lady was sharing this with me, about sports betting, right? She was like saying she didn't know about this. So she went to this a couple of locations down there because, you know, the Cubanos, man, they run in these little shops and they take them sports bets, right?
Let alone
they do the high-lie, right? The high-lie and the dog race. All that kind of stuff. So she showed up and she, like, sent me a video. She had seen a number of them brothers and sisters ready to place their bets.
It was just
a regular Sunday weekend. It wasn't Super Bowl Sunday, which is the biggest mover in Vegas.
Vegas is
exploding
casino-wise,
sports betting-wise, Reno, Tahoe, too. But where Vegas, Atlanta, AC, wherever they take sports betting on the books, I know Jersey's got illegal sports betting, correct? Is that correct?
Yes, they do.
This is the biggest one.
Now, let me tell you this. As much as the conspiracy theorists are out and they're out there, I'll say this much.
Which theory, Patrick?
Well, somebody might change the score. Somebody might do something, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Something
on the field, some bizarre fit. And this is where these referees, man. Here's the thing.
The government got people everywhere. Yep.
Well, I mean, FBI sits in the government's lap.
A retired FBI frat brother of mine said, Patrick, I saw him last Saturday. Said, Patrick, tell you, if you want to think you're going to get by Saturday because of the enormity of the game, the government got people everywhere. Watch what you do.
The deal is, if you place your bet, you're good, right? You go to the agent, place your bet, whatever that bet may be.
Yep.
You can place your bet. In terms of the influence on the field and how the needle shift, TBD, to be determined.
Well, I'm sure, Patrick, you are aware of this. Earlier this week, the Mouse Fox Sports and a couple of other media entities have basically conglomerated. Yeah, have basically conglomerated to put together what appears to be a quote unquote mega sports network.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm still reading about it.
Now. Everything is all set and it's in the works and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But gonna launch it until the fall. Now think about it now. Now see they could start it this weekend if they wanted to, but if they we good. Now they could wait, they could start a baseball season if they wanted to. We good. They could wait for maybe like the NBA or NHL playoffs. We good.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna do it in the fall because of obvious reasons. Football, college, pro, high school, I guess.
Exactly.
Probably. Some folks doing that. That's it.
This is the greedy bastard symptom to the 27th power. Oh man!
No,
and see,
you always max it out, right? I mean, these evil geniuses are always going to max it out, no matter what, right? They're going to play large. That's why Vegas is, set the Super Bowl. The moment the NFL got the franchise in Vegas, they knew they were going to set up shop in Vegas.
Damn right.
Where
Damn
there might
right.
have been New Orleans in years past, right?
The Damn right.
always goes to New Orleans because they have a gaming industry down there, which people don't know about, right? The gaming industry that happens in Louisiana, Mississippi on those boats and elsewhere.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
In other words, if you can take it to Vegas where, the high rollers, and they fit the modem, even though those streets will be jammed, Vegas
legal.
Streets are still not built out for the traffic.
And
so the traffic's going to be chaotic. The strip will be chaotic. But what will not be chaotic is they have the hotel capacity.
Yep.
Then they get the international crowd that gambles or games coming in the super high rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this is in town, and the super high rollers who like to go into those private rooms and, do the cards, throw the dice, whatever they want to do, they're putting money on the street for this football game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned New Orleans because
this is way beyond grandma voting on the cute white boy in the Great White Hope. This is way beyond that woman betting on Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Running Man.
Ben Richards. Well, this is the first Super Bowl where every snap literally will count. They will bet on the number of snaps in the game. Bet on the number
turnovers.
Of drives in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They will bet on the number of
time of possession.
Penalties in the game.
Time of possession. All of that.
You got Reggie with us. And Reggie, if you had an odd bet to bet in the Super Bowl, what would you bet on?
Place your bet.
Can I give you mine, Mike?
Yeah.
Camera shots of Miss You Know Who.
Oh, big time.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
Big time. Oh, yeah, that's already in place within the program log already.
Well, since Usher's got the halftime show, Ludacris is going to say Usher's got the beat that makes your booty go clap.
That's right.
And guys, let me tell you something. From a production perspective, they better get this halftime show right. Because last year they had Rihanna, right? She did stupid numbers. She did stupid numbers.
Yeah, she
now,
did.
Obviously,
so did Dre and them. Usher's advantage.
But I mean,
the stage show that go on Vegas, he's going
to
be in Vegas, so it'll be flawless.
Yeah.
This is what they do in Vegas. This is what they do. This is what they do. So in other words, all that Cirque du Soleil and all those Blue Man acts and all that kind of stuff, Copperfield, skyrocketing in the air, he can't be in a better location for stage production masterminds.
If you were a cynic, you would say that it's actually
a concert on Sunday with a brief interlude of football.
Yeah,
exactly.
Literally. You know, I mean, Usher's the right dude. Vegas is the right place for all of that. You know, so, I mean, they got it. I mean, NFL got it on lock, man. The key is, I mean, the game flood, man, is I can't see Purdy standing up to the lights. I just don't see it. I watched enough of him. I just don't see him standing up to the lights. Mahomes, he shines in this. This is what he wants.
Oh, please.
You know,
when
you have that factor, it comes down to them black and white stripes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, if you're going to look for a game like this, you know, you're not going to touch an athlete because they're all making money. You touch the guys who affect
it. That's the whole point.
That's why
exactly.
Exactly.
The players are virtually off limits. I mean, the camera system in Vegas, if there's whatever hotel they're staying in, that's what got O.J. That's what got O.J. back into the brig. Because the camera system's insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait. Here's a question, guys. How many people would bet on this? O.J. around Las Vegas with Super Bowl this weekend.
That's right.
That is his second backyard, pretty much.
Yeah, interesting.
O.J. is one thing. O.J. has always proven to be elusive. So the juice knows better than to make certain decisions where to show up right now. Because when he went to Vegas and it was "Where's my shit," and he was pushing to the Maloof former casino where all that shit went down, the camera systems to pop gamblers. And the motion and movement. If you walk through a casino in Vegas and you just look to have like a certain energy about you, they're just tracking you. Even if you go to the slot machine, so they see you might be the one to decode and break the bank. They have
that mastered.
In terms of that component, that's what the NBA goes there for, their every summer leagues, this, that, and the other. Everything's film, tape, drop, man. So, I mean, you almost are in the Pentagon walking through those casinos.
So basically, Eric, you're saying that woman from the airport won't be yelling "Go OJ, go!"
hurts. Your love for the juice. You know what I mean? Love for the juice. But so again, all kinds of bets will be placing, man. And we all know, 95% of the bettors are going to lose money. That's just how it is.
Yes. That's why I don't bet.
She's not going to
win. We're the ones who kind of have some really good percentages winning-wise. You have a guy like Mayweather. What's he going to upload, $5 million for his favorite? Yeah. Maybe more.
That might
be just from his walk from the strip club to his car.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Nah.
Correct. The ones who gamble who are going to show up. See, Vegas is the magnet. Where if a guy was thinking about sitting out of a Super Bowl because it's going to be, say, Orlando or Miami, they may sit that out. So all the high rollers do not sit out Vegas. This is Tyson heyday multiplied by 2,000 plus.
Yeah, exactly.
No one drove him into Vegas like Tyson heyday, right?
Absolutely.
Tyson heyday, Vegas was insane. This Super Bowl in Vegas with the teams to make up the locale, even people in San Francisco, I mean, it's like an hour flight, Sacramento, San Francisco to Vegas. Short flight. That's why it's nothing to go to Vegas on the weekend, right? You can get relatively inexpensive.
You can
do Southwest where you don't have a locked-in return time and leave whenever. But they've even amped up the airfare and everything for this shit. It's got expensive.
I can believe that.
Even McCafferty's people said the costs are ridiculous.
But something, folks, somebody gonna pay him.
Born every minute at WC Fields. You're always gonna have the football. We already know the fan base shows up no matter what. That's why athletes just literally crap on fans because no matter if they strike or they do it, they know they're returning. Right? We've seen it over and over and over again. The fan base will always be there, but Vegas is a different animal because there's going to be so much money on the line. There's going to be so much anguish in the stand. 90% of the attendance will be placing bets. 90% of those who show up to the game will be placing bets.
Forget about the betting for a minute. Before anybody lays down a bet, if it wasn't for the fact that there weren't any more mice, there'd be more pussy in Las Vegas.
Yes,
it's legal.
Convention. convention. Mm-hmm.
Vegas is no underground market there. It's all over top.
You did.
Yep.
And they're known for having some of the best, the better shake spots across the board. I can't say I ever been in one. Let me clear my voice. But they have plenty of them.
Mike, I must do this. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of management.
To your point, Mike. I mean, what I can verify to your point, Michael, the Friday flight into Vegas, right? The Friday flight into Vegas for the weekend is filled with incredible, you know, specimens of the female empire. And they head out because Vegas, remember, that's not underground for that. That's all over top. So 100% legit. The cat houses are overflowing. Sorry, Lamar, you know, there'll be people coming through.
Mike, it reminds me of that Barney Miller episode during the bicentennial. When the quote unquote woman of the evening was coming there selling her buttons, and Wojo comes up to her and says, "Oh, those are nice buttons."
Wojo Barney Miller reference. T Mac is killing it. Well, one thing to that point too, really well. One thing we can say, those Facebook pages when someone has like a natural disaster or some weather systems, and they go Mark Safe. Hey, John Williams is Mark Safe. I'm here to say, Warren Sapp will be marked safe when he says it to me.
They're gonna have to do hourly updates just to make sure, though.
We will not have to watch the cross examination in Arizona. Mr. Sapp, you have been marked safe when you show up to Vegas.
and see, he's got to be careful because he starts his new job. I guess he's already started his new job.
That's right, with Colorado. People from Colorado, because of location, Utah, Arizona, they make the Vegas trip like people from the East Coast, you know, Jersey, New York, right? Is that kind of a, you know, consistent?
Oh, yeah.
So Mr. Sapp has already paid homage.
Now the question is, but Garrick, the real question is, which Mr. Sapp has paid? Because there's got to be at least a few of them, right?
I'm going to say he's Mark Say because if he gets into another negotiation scenario with people who, when he starts negotiating what the cost will be for certain set performances, he's still Mark Safe. He will not be in
there.
There
we go. And Tony, the biggest question is going to be cash and credit card. That's all.
Yeah, pretty much, and you have to be very, very, you have to be very, very careful with them debit cards, especially in those outer regions. You got to be very, very careful.
Well, Vegas is interesting too because when you go to the ATMs in the casinos, right, and you plug in and you want $300, right? They only give you hundreds.
That's cool.
Break them down in 20s.
Yeah,
that's Vegas. Vegas moves on cash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
C-A-S-H. That's why money, you watch how Floyd moves.
Cash,
you know, he's carrying racks. That's the Vegas style out there.
Wu-Tang just tapped themselves on the back again.
That's my point. There's been people who come in for conferences from all over, and you meet people. And I know some people come from out of state. Everyone comes from out of state. They can't wait to go to Vegas. Endless drinks, right, in them casinos, very cheap, endless, and people place bets. I knew a cat won $10,000, and they asked him how he won it, right? You know, I don't know what he played. And he won $10,000 for something, right? I think he was playing some tables. And so the choice was, we give you a check. His bank was right across the street at the casino. Well, we'll break him off cash. So he took the check and ran to the bank and deposited it so he didn't blow it later.
Yeah,
but if you win $100,000 in Vegas, they got to, and you request cash, they're going to give you cash.
They do. Guys, can I tell you a story about my boy? About betting in a casino? A real quick story, my fraternity brother. he, you know, he likes to go vet and whatnot. Real
right.
quickly, he was but he was in Lag City. So if,
okay,
if let's say everybody's having a nice time, let's say Eric, you want $100,000, you know, everybody's
right.
happy, blowing drinks. What Carl would come up to you and say, "Hey, man, let me buy you a drink, man." And you buy a drink, can you buy a drink for your wife? That's right. Okay. Oh, and he says, "Man, wish you best of luck. Oh, by the way, take my card, Carl Phillips, IRS, Comrie."
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta file. I mean, this ain't the Wild Wild West. So you're not meeting Boudini Brown behind the corner of the
no,
Church's
boy.
Chickens, right?
That's
it's
up.
All. It's all. It, you just have that option. Of course, you're gonna have to file. You know, but the thing
yeah.
is, you have to fill out the paperwork to get broken off. But no matter what, so up front, you deal with the taxation. Like if a person wins, what we in February?
Yeah.
They'll deal
yeah.
with the taxation in 2025, not the rest of the year.
Yeah, because you see, there's some people don't think about that, Eric. That's why he getting the card. Call me.
Yeah, I mean, if you get the pay, I mean, it's just different. But that's what. But I'm telling you, people who play in LV, they playing for the cash.
Yeah. They playing with Augusta.
Straight up.
They playing with Augusta.
But.
You know, right, but
you
it's
know
not one of them local gaming casinos, you know, on Native American lands where, you know,
yeah.
hey, we're going to cut the check in 3 days, come
right.
back nine. But there, they
that,
cut, they,
that's right.
They go to the vaults right away and break you off.
All big money, all big money. They don't even have stuff with this.
Mm-hmm.
When Floyd that's... collects, right, because he's public with his, so we can use him as a visible example of what we're talking about. When Floyd goes collected, do you ever see him get a check?
No.
He takes
but he
some
got
racks
about 15
out of
people
there.
With him. He got about 15 people with him. Cause you get
well, you got to.
Hire.
I mean, Floyd's
yeah.
aided on the local level with Vegas 5 deal with the law enforcement, all that kind of shit, because of the flossing. And he's smart. He knows the game. And he's been ripped off several times from his house, too, to keep it 100, right?
Wow,
he's been ripped off many times. You know, yeah. You know,
he got
several
system
times
on that, man?
He's been ripped off, yeah.
Come on, man. He, with all that money, come on, man. He's been ripped
well,
off so many times?
But rule one of the game is you keep it stealth.
Yeah.
Right?
With that amount of money.
Like that, come on, man. You beg. It's like what the professor said when Colorado got ripped off and the quarterback, you know, young Shador is flashing the watch he has, right, as an example.
Yeah.
And these recruits come in, they're looking for that watch.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Arizona State shaving scandal when they
yeah.
came and made bets in Vegas? They were making hundreds of bets at 9,000 a clip because they knew
yeah, under 10,000
the 10 more bets. They came with duffel bags full of money to make the bets. They only got caught because they got greedy.
Well, everyone gets greed's the game, right? They always get popped on greed.
But that's just it. We're not even talking about rules of the game. We're not talking about how well the game's played. We're talking about how much money changes the flow of the game. A bad call can mean billions of dollars as opposed to millions of dollars back in the day. If a field goal is kicked to tie the game that goes in overtime, like it did against Atlanta with New England, we got gobs of money swinging the other way altogether total. And 100%. there's no middle ground.
Well, most people aren't. They're too young to know that sport when associated with the game with gambling. Boxing dominated by that
for
years. When boxing was king of like the sports, right? You know, the Ali coverage.
And guess what, Eric? Basketball was the second one.
I mean, Roger Brown and Connie Hawkins got caught up in that shit. You know what I mean? The point shaving scandal.
But the
you know,
at the Garden all the time.
Jack Molinas. Yeah, Jack Molinas, you know, who was getting into the brothers all across the country, networking him and, you know, the Goodfellas, the syndicate, they own that as well. One of the problems, and this is just not to keep it from anything level, Elijah Muhammad, you know, had pushback on associating with then Cassius Clay because of the gambling angle and the sportsmanship gaming part, right, the illegality. So what took place when Ali had, what, that crew of 11 Louisville investors when he was Cassius Clay that backed them, that was the protection from the gamblers when he was coming up, period.
Yep.
That 11 group. Then what happened is, you know, he got, you know, hooked onto, you know, the Nation doctrine, young man influenced by that. Then the Nation picked up and they protected him. They didn't want to mess with the Nation because the Nation didn't play. So they protected him through that particular process. But that was how he got through. But all these other brothers, you know, when Marciano's guys started taking place, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson, Archie Moore couldn't get a fight for many years because it was all gambling.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Sports has always
That's
been a glitch.
Right.
I mean, what the great baseball, what, Shoeless Joe Jackson, you know, right? I know, Tony, I know you're the baseball master here, guy. I mean, it goes back to the scandal, the Shoeless, the White Sox scandal, right, with the gambling.
That's right.
So sports has, this is nothing new, America, in terms of how the whole sports genre is going to fail. We still see it. We see the skimming and the base even today because it's still on the book. So this Puritan sports bullshit, stop it.
Yeah.
That's
most
exactly
definitely.
Right.
And it's so established now because of the nature of how it projects itself.
Oh,
so,
it is scandal.
Like I said, like I say all the time, the Giants, we got the New York Giants on a $600 bet. Give me a freaking break.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Floyd is telling you I'm betting on myself tonight. I put up $10 million. Yeah, I'm making 50, but I put up $10 million on myself tonight. Right?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
I got no problem.
This Puritan shit. Now, people like us, I mean, like, you know, who want to place bets because we can see some bets are just so friggin' easy, man. It doesn't even make any sense when you look at some of the points. But you're like, dang, I mean, one of the bets that I seen one time that I'm comfortable to say I put some money up on, it was conservative because it was no massive number, was Holyfield Tyson. What? I cannot believe it was 8-1 Tyson.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the easiest bet where Holyfield's whipping his ass because he's the only one that can't be bullied.
Uh-huh.
That was a great
happens.
Bet. I mean, I think it was 11-1 when it started.
Well, that changed.
It changed big. So if you put up $100, for those who know, it was 8-1. I don't even know what the odds were. 8-1 at fight time, you win $800.
It's all about action. It's all about action.
It's the action.
And this is
correct.
This is the first Super Bowl where unashamedly gambling is lauded. It's not hidden. It's not backdoor.
Exactly.
Nobody's saying it's illegal or there's dark money involved.
Place
no, everything
bet.
Is out in the open. So even the dark money is making money.
All
there's nobody losing in it.
Right? When all these talking heads are talking point spreads, percentages, bets, every show.
Yep. I tell you what,
Patrick,
ESPN,
your peers in media.
ESPN did a great feature on betting. Jeremy Schapp, if you get a chance, they did a beautiful piece on how
well,
it's broken
what
down.
Does, the Schapp,
man, it was wonderful, wonderful, great production.
But what I'm saying is if you watch any talking head, I got a 10-minute max, man. I can never get through 10-minute excerpts. But when you watch that, everyone is talking bets.
Yeah.
NBA.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So your peers in media are not talking about the game strategy and about, hey, you know, what this KC needs to win. You know, what's your thoughts about the spread? Do you think those are good odds? And everyone's weighing in.
Exactly. That's a good thing. The conversation will roll to that. Fuck strategy. Fuck the game.
Yes.
It's like, how many more catches do you need to be covering your bet when it comes to Purdy throwing the ball to Debo Samuel? That's all they really care about. It's action.
Correct.
This is the ultimate horse race. In a horse race, there are certain bets you make. You can bet on a horse to run first, second, third, or do all kinds of combinations. In football, you can do the same thing and even more so. You can
let me ask this question. Let me ask this question.
Get
Jim just had a flash
and
thought. So if you're an NFL owner who is not, what, how many teams in NFL? 32, 30, 20, 30, how many?
32.
Okay. So there's 30 teams not participating, correct?
Yes.
So
yep.
Amongst the 30 teams that are not participating, do you, and they'll show up because they'll have meetings, right? Super Bowl week, correct? You know, that's a good way to meet all the governors of the NFL and the meeting groups and the commissioners.
Yep, yep,
so they have all these meetings, correct? They do that in the NBA all the time in Vegas.
Yeah.
So would it be safe to say, and more than logical, that more than 50% of owners, general managers, we know the players can get down, are placing bets Sunday?
Eric, let me tell you the front office. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, thank you. I mean, so if you're, I'm not going to use no direct owner's name. I think Jerry Jones could place a real good bet.
Heck yeah. You know what?
Right? Now, the players we
know. Eric, you know why?
Yes.
Because they can do whatever the hell they want to do and get by.
That's my point. And so now, okay. So my next thought process question is, the NFL admin level, Goodell, his crew, are they placing bets?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that interesting? And
yep.
There's nothing to block them from placing bets.
Nope. Unless somebody gets stupid, and then
it's not in their contract.
Change.
Hey. Yeah. I'm going to throw a hypothetical NFL name out there. I'm not associating this person with any – no, I'm not going to use any names. But if you are an all-pro quarterback for a team or all-pro linebacker, special teams player, and you show up, you know, because it's a camaraderie fest, you know, I always like going to Vegas. I catch up with so many – during the NBA, I catch up with so many people, man. I ain't seen in years, right? It's like a real good camaraderie time, which attracts a lot of individuals. NFL does the same thing with these Super Bowl weekends. Everyone's betting.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
They so
just
if you're always playing for the Chiefs, he needs free safety. My man,
wait.
I'm betting on y'all.
Wait.
Don't let Debo get behind you. Or, guess what? If Debo gets behind you, I'll take care of you later.
There you go.
All right.
Now, that might be a tough one to get by.
I won't cross that Rubicon because we see it all the time with players who got popped and suspended and doing certain things like that. They've got friends and family. All that stuff is not on the test. And these guys are not trying to hide the numbers. It's just communication, right? If you get a lead on something business-wise, Patrick, whatever that lead may be, and there's a financial number association, and because we know each other, that's me and you. That has nothing to do with anyone else.
That's what the guys in Detroit thought.
But my point being is, it's human nature to have that. I got you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got you. Come on, man.
But
I got you. We've been operating on I got you since we've been in America.
There is
no stealth network to cover the I got you component.
Well, I would say this weekend, don't fake the funk.
No one wants to compromise as a player. They won't make it that far. They would have showed signs of being compromised a long time ago. But sometimes in getting busted in a compromise, it's better to keep it hush hush than to make it public. And we see that all the time in certain leagues. Like when a certain NBA superstar has to pull away because there's other things take certain places. But maybe he just needs to go play baseball.
I will tell you this much. There's a direct correlation between the years I worked on Wall Street and my brother was a manager in back office deals on markets on both sides. You got to be careful. That's all I can say.
Insider trading is insider trading, right? We know about that's called insider trading.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the tips are still being given out there, man, to certain people. I mean, anyone who thinks they're not getting tips
is
full.
Yeah.
Then they are beyond born yesterday.
Yeah.
The human component always plays a point. It's the minor economy. I had a guy that told me a long time ago. He said he knew someone was skimming from his business, right? Mm-hmm. I said, well, how did you deal with that? You know, they were skimming. So he had a percentage thought process. He told me as long as the skim was, say, 90-10, he got 90, and it was a woman, and she took 10. And then mm-hmm. if it got to 80-20, it depended on the number, she still was okay. He said when it dipped below 70-30, then it was a problem. He said the skimmer, who never knew, he knew she was skimming, never dipped below 7:30. And he said she used the skim to finance her kids' college. So he said he didn't bother that. To this day, she doesn't know she skimmed.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a percentage of what they'll allow doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to say
mm-hmm.
that component that. Doesn't exist, wow, I mean, then they really are naive to the game.
Yeah.
All this Puritan bullshit is just that bullshit.
Yeah. They're the components of what we're dealing with now. And here's something else.
And even more, Patrick, it's AI, man. This
That's
AI,
what I was about to say now. I was
this
about to
computerization,
say that.
Oh, it's lit. But also, though, it does create more of a paper trail, to your point.
You spit it out before I got to it. AI.
Sorry.
AI. Okay. And I ain't talking about Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
correct. Allen Iverson.
Got that right. Oh, yeah, bro. AI, what up, bro? Yeah, AI, right? You talking about AI, what up, AI?
Yeah, AI is my, I got.
Yeah,
my,
it's more
my,
of a paper trail when it's digital, correct?
Yeah, because my engineer, so we said, me see my AI, I'm going, what? Because he's in contact, not as much as he used to, but he's still in contact with guys out in Silicon Valley. He said, you know, people need to hear that. He's trying to get me to take a whole new perspective, and I am, on what AI can do. Anytime they can, AI can take, you can take a picture. Let's say you take a picture of somebody with your friend. But AI has a system where they can change right where they want. I said, wait a minute.
Well, just to take that viewpoint, if you're a 20-year-old Army enlistee who grew up on gaming, right, Xbox, and you played all those war games, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you join the military, and you got eye and acumen. You got really good hand speed, because hand speed matters with those gaming things, right? You know, where
you move, right?
Okay, the 100%. Controllers, right? So now this person's a 20-year-old person in the military, and they're sitting in an off-site, hyper-secure location in the Colorado mountains or the deserts of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's a military installation. And in that location, this person with really adept controller skills is controlling a drone in Syria.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Controlling a zone in Syria. And in the and then in the White House, when they got a drop on some terrorist activity, they're watching this drone in Washington that's being controlled in this off location, wherever it may be, because they're stealth, and they're controlling the demolition site and dropping that and watching this through via telecommunications on something that's about to hit in this country miles away. So it's no, it's non-locale. So, yeah, that technology exists, you know, in terms of the minutiae of details. That's how people get popped all the time when they play these lanes.
Let me give a quick story. 2 years ago in Jersey City, we did a story on kids who were playing gaming, the games.
You can get a college scholarship nowadays if you're a gamer.
He had two of them participating in a national competition in Florida. Guess who was the sponsor? NASA.
Yeah, all the time. Well, University of Central Florida has the greatest simulation techniques. It's the greatest training ground for government employees, and they have the greatest space simulators and other simulators that you can imagine at UCS. That is a totally contrived, constructed government organization. It's a university system that has the greatest technology with simulation, all these other devices. So, yeah, all that stuff, you know, pretty much exists. So, yeah, it's all that minutiae of detail, all that data, and it's relevant. So, yeah, I mean, it's nothing to get the drop on anyone, right, because they have the heat seekers. They can look right through the building. No problem.
Yeah.
I thought Bin Laden was game.
And University of Akron, right, they dropped six disciplines to do what? To put a gaming curriculum together. Guess who got a third
of the money? I've seen some. I was at halftime of the Sacramento Kings game, right? I don't know how many years ago.
Jesus.
I'm at halftime of the Sacramento Kings game, and they've got this guy young kid, you know, young brother. You know, I mean, he's still in high school. And he goes out to half court. And this is out of my league. I never played the games. My kids and them, they've done the Xbox, all that stuff. I've never participated. I've watched it. And the graphics are so natural, it looks like real mm-hmm. players, right? When mm-hmm. you look at the graphics visually, how it appears on the TV, baseball, football, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. They've got the drop. So this guy goes up to halftime, and some fans, you know, that generation, they seem to know who this person was, and they give him a controller, and they throw it on the big screen, and allegedly where I'm watching this guy play some game on this big screen at halftime. Everyone's cheering. I don't even know what the hell the game is or what the angle of the game is. Right? Mm-hmm. And he's charting out, he's setting some kind of record, and that was the halftime feature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that. Listen, let me tell you how Dick Dastardly this thing has become. In the mm-hmm. late 90s, I was still in Canada doing my show, and it was revealed that the State Department had found out that there was a site taking bets, but they were taking bets on terrorist activity. Literally saying, give me Hamas and the points and shit like that. That sounds fucked up, but that's exactly how bad it had gotten. And it was tabled and squashed after about 6 months. But the fact that it even existed, the gambling bug is deep in the State Department, and it was never put out in Front Street, just how bad the situation had come down.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's my point. It happens all the time. So if you have the you gotcha, but it's a minimum thing, but it's part of a network and it can destroy the whole foundation, they'll dismantle it slowly, but there will be no public, you know, knowingness and blast master on that. Because it's going to happen. It will continue to happen despite someone's idea of thinking this is pure merriment. I mean, that's the first Crocus Manifestus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That whole world that, I mean, we got here in Jersey. I mean, the first school of Big Ten had Northwestern had a Getty curriculum. I'm going, what? Then here comes Michigan. Then there comes Ohio. Then I got a whole league. I'm going, and then now, matter of fact, they just recruited last year a kid from Jersey City, the top high school in Jersey City. Harvard now has a gaming. So if Harvard, you know what they're doing. They can
those are the ones, right? The people at MIT, the people in the tech industry, because MIT quiet as kept. Well, I don't know if it's quiet as kept. MIT has been placing more of their graduates in the data analytics of sports professional franchises. So is Stanford.
Yep.
These guys have no background as athletes at all. But MIT, they hold conferences there on sports data analytics. And MIT graduates are dotted all over major league professional sports, team sports, coming out of MIT in their data offices or their data front offices.
Which is part of the problem with analytics being involved in strategy of games. Which is people are complaining
about. But right
about.
Now, see, they coach to the data. You see what I mean? Yeah. So in other words, here's where analytics, I mean, it must be really tough to be a pro athlete nowadays because they got dissected to the minutia in this analytics. I mean, to the minutia, my goodness. I mean, it's that, in other words, NBA, right? They'll have, I'm going to really simplify this one, but there's a data analytics where which five players work best as a unit. And it's beyond broken down, right, from their percentage, their production, to assist, to turnover, field goal attempts, three-point shooting, on and on it goes, right? And so there'll be a five-person unit that plays better as a unit, as a group, than another five. It may be better than the starting five. You cannot not look at that data. Because if as a coach, if this is my OGM, if this is my five best men, I've got to mix that five in the game because they're the most productive. It may not be at the end of the game, but you got to find the time to put. That's where that data is valuable. It's all get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's go on, Mike.
Oh, good, Patrick.
No, I was going to say that's what the extent of analytics has always been in some form strategy. but like Eric is saying, to the details and the nuances playing and mm-hmm. getting strategy exchange, particularly what drives me crazy, which why I don't cover the baseball anymore. Baseball is ridiculous.
How fast did the home run get out the ballpark is senseless.
Oh,
that's ridiculous. All that is really ridiculous. But I gotta throw this in because, again, it's about the money. Gary, we know Vegas is making money hand over foot, literally.
Sure.
But for all the money that Vegas is making, Oakland is not even getting pennies out of the deal. They're going to lose all their teams. What's it like being in Oakland right now?
Oakland is in trouble. They're in real serious trouble because
it's in trouble, for sure.
And the mayor is
that's what they're saying, Gary, the mayor is getting crazy.
Corridor going to the airport is a crime scene in progress.
Wow.
Oakland is a really bad shape.
Well, see, Oakland is the gateway from the real estate perspective. Like what's happening in Inglewood, right? Inglewood for years, a strong black community, right, in Inglewood, right?
Yes.
For many years. Once they built the stadium for the Rams and the Chargers, property values went through the ceiling.
Yeah.
Right? And these longtime people who lived in Inglewood for many years who never bought their properties, they may have been long-term renters. Mm-hmm. Property owners start seeing what they can sell it for. They're out.
Get them out.
And it's just being gentrified all the case. Now, Ballmer, owner of the Clippers, he's building an arena out there. For the Clippers. As they say in California love, Inglewood always up to no good. So they're building that out.
Let me ask you a question.
Right, so it's skyrocketing. Now, in Oakland, what happens in Oakland, the property values, it's still a gateway to Silicon Valley, which is still Palo Alto, East Bay.
My boy's out
down
there, yeah.
Where Oakland, so Oakland, Richmond for many years, you know, Coach Carter, the movie that's out of Richmond, right? They have these refineries there for Arco gas refineries, right, for many years. So it wasn't the most attractive place to move, but that was the gateway to be into the Bay Area if you worked in the Silicon Valley, the tech industry, which is dominates in that area. These people start getting gentrified, right? I'm going through Richmond. I'm like, is this Richmond? I mean, all the years I've been there, it looks very different optically with the residents. Same thing with Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So the areas that are being torn down, the science behind that allegedly is because they have Asian government and there's a lot of Asian populace, is they're letting the crime run so they can come in and clean up and then gentrify.
Yes. And that corridor,
that's
the
strategy.
Eggenberger Road corridor. You may not be there at night. I'm telling you that. You may not be there at night.
It's terrible. But it's been given the green light to be terrible. Because of the investments that can come in later for the cleanup, right? Like Arlen doesn't look the same, does it, Mike?
Yep. Oh, hell no. Hell no.
That's my point. Harlem does not look
the same. They got Starbucks in Harlem.
My goodness. I mean, I was on 125th Street, man. I mean, years back after all the changes, I'm like, man, these folks are walking with confidence around here. Let alone that they got numbers, but man, they walking around. This is my home, my neighborhood. How you doing?
Well, exactly.
Wait, you know what happened? You know what happened? When Bill Clinton moved there, it got even worse.
When he took that state building, correct? Yeah, exactly. You're 100%. Because he was in play when that took place. I'm like looking at this. I'm like, what the fuck? Oakland, you know, it has some really good landmark places, in the city of Oakland. And Oakland was very conscious for a lot of years. Like, for example, the black community refused to have like subprime lenders do loans in Oakland. It was very difficult if you were a subprime lender to do any lending in Oakland because of the statutes they have, right? I mean, so they kept it that way for a long time. Then there was a lot of there's an Oakland Army base, which brought a lot of brothers in from all different parts. There was a Navy base, and then they have the where the place off the the coast where they do all the shipping, Gary. I can't think of the name. I can picture where all the shipping tanks come into the port, right? The port? Oakland Port? Port of Oakland.
Oakland.
And that's where the A's were one time thinking about building a stadium down there because of real estate, what have you. So it's a ton of revenue coming through that port. But also through that port comes where a lot of NBA players got caught up on the white powder. Through that port comes through there as well. You follow?
I hear that.
And so there's a lot of moving and grooving in Oakland. So Oakland does still have the revenue coming from that port industry, which is huge on shipping. It's still right across the bay from San Francisco. It's still in the shadows of San Jose as well, Palo Alto. So it has value, but they're destroying certain levels of the community with the crime. And there's a lot of information out there saying it's being done with intent, so it can be gentrified.
Mm, I can believe
that.
I think
you're right, because of the way they did it with the police force has been under government, under federal jurisdiction for the past 5 and 10 years.
Well,
God, like this. Last year, fired the police chief. So now the commission has 2 more years to raise revenue. What are you doing?
I mean, the Oakland Hills. Remember the bad fires from the Oakland Hills? They even did a movie on that, right? So the Oakland Hills was where, you know, the money folks stayed in Oakland, this, that, and the other. I know Al Addles, he stayed out for many years. And a lot of the NFL players, I believe, what's my man, Michelle and some others, they stayed in the hills, right? I mean, you got some incredible views of the bay in Oakland, right? Like, I'm talking about stunning views that most people don't think about when they think about Oakland. So it's Alameda County, and it does have the revenue base, but what it is, it's had a long, strong black community for many years. A lot of that built on the Army base, right, when that came to town, and the jobs that were associated with those communities in the port, right? And so it's a workers' person's town. But now with so much money in the tech industry, what happens is when people need a gateway home and you can work remote anywhere, then Oakland becomes very, very and highly attractive based on geographical location.
What's happening now is people are moving from Oakland to Fremont. Oakland,
right, Fremont's turning up. Yeah.
To Campbell, California. Oakland to San Jose, as we're doing.
Yeah, Oakland. Well, a lot of Oakland residents are going to San Joaquin County, Tracy, right? Lathrop, Stockton region. Because those areas became very, and Sacramento region down the road because of the cost of living concept. But it has a great value location. Now, Oakland's right next door to Berkeley, right? University of California. I mean, you really can't tell, right? I mean, they blend so close. Am I in Oakland or am I in Berkeley, right? It's like almost identical optically. But Cal's, you know, that's a long-term university. People still worldwide go there to the university. All that shadow stuff to Oakland. So Oakland is a highly attractive geographical location for many reasons. Now, trying to clear it out, turn up the crime. So they had one In-N-Out Burger. I don't know, people love In-N-Out Burger. I live here. It doesn't turn me on that way. But those who do, they shut it down through the theft. I think there was another grocery, you know, like a Walgreens or something.
Denny,
they had to shut down due to theft.
And it's amazing. People have probably already done that. I mean, I've done a litany of information and studies on why it's going. But with the town, somebody was talking. ESPN did a piece today on the Raiders. Raiders getting ready for baseball season, the Oakland A's, and the new stadium that the stadium they've had to work with. And that's where I heard about this mayor going nuts about. She had to step back with some of the things she said about what they were going to do. But it's amazing they've lost the basketball team, the football team, baseball team. With a city with that much history and that much going for them, it's amazing that it's the way it is.
The Coliseum should have been nuked a long time ago. That stadium,
yeah, that,
trash. Right? To be frank, to be, I'm
I'll say it one more time. I would have blew that whole thing up and put the Raiders on the north side and the A's on the south side and put the Bucks out in the middle. That's what I would have done with the Coliseum.
But that makes
and
sense.
Oracle,
unfortunately,
they did
I mean,
I'm always fond of Oracle because when I my coaching day, I won the NorCal championship on that floor. And we had the same school colors, and that was the old Golden State logo. So I'm always fond of Oracle, personally, for full disclosure. But they had remodeled the whole lower deck, right, G, Oracle. I mean, they did a really good job. So when the Warriors were rolling for many years, the best – finance the best deal for NBA tickets and the best viewing energy wise, because even when the Warriors sucked, man, I seen the Nelly years, the Eric Musselman years, the Mike Montgomery years, right?
Oh God, Mike Montgomery,
right? You know, he came from Stanford. I got Montgomery stories. We'll say that we won't digress our story talking about Mike Montgomery. You know, I work with Musselman at some basketball camps. He's with Sacramento. That's another story. He's with Arkansas now. Real a good dude, but what a tiny guy, man. That dude is like tiny physically, right? Musselman. So
yeah,
you know, when they were there. And you go to those games where I remember Baron Davis, I'm talking about the Jason Richardson, you know, teams that they had. It was a great scene. I mean, great entertainment. The team was excellent for tickets. I mean, and they supported their team even though they sucked. So when Steph and them start turning it up out there, Clay and company and Kirk, Mark Jackson, you know, when they started turning it up, it was just set up for the turn up. And that was one of the greatest home court arenas and advantages at Oracle. You can mean that place. They talk about Sacramento. I've been in the Kings game when they said they had the six-man thing. Now, Oracle was way louder. And what a diverse group of fans, right? You talk about going to a game where literally no ethnicity dominated, literally. It was a wide space of everything, and it was a cool location. So sometimes I can remember going to a Warrior game, spend the night in Oakland, heading back to Sac with my family, and then there was a Raider game, right? Because they shared the same parking lot, right, G? So the Coliseum shared the same parking lot as Oracle. And so the Raiders fan base is insane. So it was a rainy day, man, but they were out there, you know, setting up their tents, you know, getting ready for the game, and it was loaded and filled. So all that was the same parking lot. So, yes, they had a real community thing. They had a real supportive thing within those areas. They just needed better facilities, man, because the facilities just got dated.
What you're talking about is a direct difference between Oakland and New York. You were just talking about Harlem briefly. Harlem priced itself out because there were no neighborhoods left in Manhattan. Harlem was the last neighborhood and the largest neighborhood.
9/11 wiped out a lot of infrastructure for housing and building in lower Manhattan. But they shot to Patrickstown, Jersey City, and Uptown.
That's right. But now we have a mayor who is a former cop. He was the head of the Black Policemen's Union, the Guardians, and he's the tool of the state because he doesn't give a fuck about New York. And the same thing is happening to Oakland that's happened to New York. Even though we have teams, even though there's things that you can do. Everything is unreal as far as price. As my man once said, in backing a political party, the rent is too damn high. New York is too damn high. You can't afford New York. And it's not because New York is so ultra luxurious than everywhere else. It's because greedy motherfuckers have made New York worse than it has been. And I said Harlem was the last neighborhood to get gentrified because it was the largest neighborhood. And there were other things that they had to consider, like Columbia University, which is on the west side in an area that they want to call Morningside Heights. Columbia's buildings all border along Morningside Avenue on the west side. Back in the day, they made a neighborhood within a neighborhood and called it Morningside Heights because they want to make sure that when you tell your kid he's going to Columbia, that he doesn't know he's going to be paying $800 a credit to go to Harlem. Because that's where damn buildings are located. They don't say that shit in the brochure, but it's part of the bigger problem. New York is too damn high. Oakland may not be too damn high, but there's nothing there. So,
Michael, Oakland, there's a very rich area in Oakland.
I don't doubt that.
You have the Black Panther history. You have the all of that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Oakland's a great city.
Interesting. Really. Yeah.
No matter what you do, though, it's balls to the wall if you live in New York. Before San Francisco got ridiculous with their rent, New York was expensive. Before you did anything, just normal lifestyle, going to a restaurant, finding a place to live, all that shit was encapsulated in New York. If you lived in Manhattan and you had a so-called New York lifestyle, you had to make at least a buck and a half a year, $150,000 a year. Even in the outer boroughs, you had to make at least six figures to have a decent place to live. And now it's even worse. You got 5-10 people living in places where it's humanly possible to squeeze that many folks in comfortably. My old neighborhood in Harlem, the apartment that I grew up in, is now $3,500 a month. A month.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
And we're talking about Amsterdam Avenue and 163rd Street.
And that folks are paying it.
And they're paying it.
That's a mortgage. That's a mortgage for a 3-bedroom home in Jersey, man. Come on.
That's right.
That's what they're
that's
doing.
Exactly right. So when we weigh all this, when we weigh Oakland and New York against Las Vegas, you can see why somebody would do almost anything to get a Super Bowl bid. It can literally become a works project for your city in no time at all. If you remember, Barcelona turned their city into a public works project for an Olympics, and they rebuilt literally the whole downtown core of the city. And now it's a place where people can go. Anybody who gets the Super Bowl bid now, they're definitely thinking more money. But they're not necessarily thinking, let me make my city better. So there's a lot of game going on, and the owners are saying, who's next?
I'm gonna tell you who's next in Jersey. The World Cup is next in Jersey. And believe me, folks here are going nuts. It's going to be a giant MetLife Stadium. I was at the first one.
Yeah, the FIFA World Cup final only.
I was at the one 10 years ago. I was the guest of the Secretary of State. And I saw Italy. And I'm not a soccer person, but the atmosphere was electric.
Oh, yeah, it's bananas, man. If you're a sports guy, it's bananas.
Yeah, that was 94.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Italy played Ireland. Great game. So they expect $500 million to flow in the city during that game alone.
Right,
so.
Minimum.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with you, Patrick. I went to the soccer, bonanza dude. I do remember when they created the Cosmos, right? I can remember that. Giorgio Franz Beckenbauer, right? Shared to me, hey, you need to go see this Liverpool Chelsea game.
You know,
I was
alone. That's right.
My God. Mm-hmm. I had a blast. And this was the hooligan area. Remember the soccer hooligans would go fight everywhere and shit?
Yeah.
So that's the hooligan area. The hooligans were showing me love up in that piece. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you got to teach that, man. Well, Patrick, let me ask you a question, man. Did you go to the games? You were talking about the HBCU games?
No, I did not go. There was some stuff that happened. To be quite frankly, I didn't get my credential, and I was pissed because of some stuff that's going on, and I'm not going to let me. I had to get some business and couldn't get in there, but I will tell you this is what happened. I'll say this, you know, back in September they had the game. Speaking of a stadium at the Red Bull Soccer Stadium, where they had Grambling and Hampton, and they had a management company to handle it, a black management company. And
you got funny
the,
style.
Well, I'll say this: when
all
Hampton
right.
and Grandma come in town, it's going to sell out. They had 5,000
right.
people and a 25,000 seat arena. Wrong people, they promoted wrong. Well,
right.
the same thing happened this year when last year's game, the Rock was full. It was packed because I got to it later.
Yep.
I had to film something early that day. This year, it was on TNT, and they only had like about 22 people.
Correct.
Yeah, 22 people because TNT had a whole bunch of people, so people couldn't get credentials. But the stands were half full.
Oh, they cock blocked.
But I found out it was the same company that did the one over in September. I'm going, when are they going to find some people, the right people to do this? Well, we are in Jersey. Somebody politically is attached to that. So that's what happened.
So they blacked out the local medium. Yeah, the cock block. They pulled the Lamont Stanford.
No, the game can be seen, but even though...
Well, in terms
of
the credentials, right? They're right about the storylines.
Yeah. Even though it was shown, look, last year the place was packed. This year it's half full. What is wrong with y'all, man? Because they don't care what's on TV. Folks want to go out and see it. But the
yes,
same
they
folks
do.
Talent, that's what they have. I was shocked, but I couldn't get in there. Like I'd see some people, couldn't get in. I said, I ain't paying no ticket.
It's going to be a ticket buyer, you know, when you get comped often, you know, to be a ticket buyer. Yeah, I struggle with that, you know, oftentimes too, because my boys always pick me up. They always pick me up at that will call.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, see, I, what remember. I had to do, if I had my press credential, I could go anywhere I want to go. But without a press credential, the things I had to do could not be
yeah,
done. I tried last year. It didn't work out.
Yes,
You got to remember, the league is always going to look out for number one. Meaning those who invest in the league. If you got money, they're gonna look at you in the ingratiating manner.
Yeah.
You talk about soccer. My Eagles are gonna play their first home game in Sao Paulo, Brazil next season.
Oh, you see that?
Stadium,
you see that?
It holds 49,000.
Brazil,
yet, right? 49,000. They'll fill the place up. And it's gonna be more money. The greedy bastard factor, as Tony says, is alive and well. We're almost at final thoughts. Reggie, get some thoughts in if you will, please.
Super Bowl predictions.
Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah. What's up, Reg? What's up, baby?
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, what's going on? My name is Eric the Enemy, and I've been. To build a good.
You stole who I want to talk about.
Hey, Red, did you see
man,
Eric?
Down here in the East Coast in Virginia and Washington, first thing the white boy is saying is that, Eric, you hit your wagon to a flat truck. You should never listen to Robin. White boy should not say that he was wrong. That tells you how bad they feel about it. But I just want to shout out my cousin Pat. He's enjoying himself at Las Vegas.
I know Pat's good.
Getting some good interviews, doing a good job, been busy. But my thing is twofold. We lost Coach Harold Dean. He was a lifetime coach of Virginia State University. He was inducted to the highest degree of ancestor this past week. That chosen land. Blessings to him and his family, and we wish him well on his transition. But gentlemen, help me understand how Don Staley and a certain coach, I'm not going to mention his name, from Clemson football program are on the same page. Now, you know it's getting shaky now when you got people in Tennessee is trying to do end-arounds with the lawmakers with this NIL. But guess what? This shit ain't going to work. As we told people before, those contracts, scholarships, one year only. When you tell the Europeans about it, I say, well, talk to me about Alabama, and they have their own airport and all airplanes. And that's just one. Even UVA had their own airplane. And look how sorry-ass their athletic program is. Just food for thought. So when I hear people bitching and talking about the players, hey, didn't ESPN sign a nice lucrative contract and a billion-dollar contract with a Big Ten? Did I miss something? But yet the players are making money.
You know, you haven't missed a thing. I mean, last time Shador was rolling around in the 2024 Rolls Royce, I don't know if you missed anything.
A lot of meat not damaged.
Doesn't matter where they take that from them.
Patrick, put something in the top.
I'm gonna add some more meat to Bridget's sandwich, Reggie.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to figure out. And how can Cliff Killsbury, what was his name? It's Pillsbury boy. I don't know what it is.
Pillsbury? Yeah.
How can he be? He was supposed to get the Oakland Raiders job. He turned to be in D.C. because of the fact that, you know, they said Cam was from D.C. and he had some kind of affiliation with him. And I'm going, wait a minute. I got all these coordinators and ain't nobody interviewing Eric Bieniemy. What's Kingsbury's record as a coach? It's at least 10, 15 games under 500.
Below 500.
So what is his about him that gets these positions? And Bieniemy, he got 3 Super Bowls, 2 of them are rings.
He's black.
Well, you know, EB's last shot with their pushing, it probably won't happen.
Question: did he date a white woman? Open.
The last one in the job opens in Seattle, right? That's it. But, you know, I mean, come on, NFL hiring, what's this guy, Callahan? I don't know what job he took. He was at Cincinnati. He has no resume. He wasn't even a coordinator. And then I believe the Carolina Panthers head coach has been associated with some interesting previous histories with the word porn.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bieniemy can't take the job. That's all I got to say, because that's all I got to say, because, you know, I'll start cussing in a minute, because this is ridiculous. But, you know, I tell you what I'm even more concerned about is what's if I'll put it this way, I'll end it like this. If the coaches are having a problem, you know, we got some coaches in the area I worked in, the back office is now getting worse, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, you know how they do it, you know. I mean, like Patrick Mahomes Sr. got his 6 DUI. What a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, wait till Sunday. Or starting Saturday. You're really going to bring it up.
You got that it's right.
Game.
Playing under duress. His beloved dad just got his 6 DUI. So that basically they're saying Patrick's got his 6 DUI, right? So they're still saying, right. They say I'm from the hood, that means I'm no good.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
Finish the sentence.
Yeah, sure. Great discourse. You know, I always like the content. Everything just flows naturally like the talking drum from the continent, you know, in terms of the communications. But when it comes down to, I want to keep it specific, you know, to the game, right? So in other words, lot riding in terms of legacies, in terms of efficiencies and certain things that matter. Riding with the Chiefs, you know, 100%. You know, even though, again, I know Eric Armstead really well, wouldn't be upset at all if he gets a Super Bowl ring and plays really well in this game because he's an easy brother to cheer for. And, again, like I said, you know, long-term relationship with knowing him and his family and wish him well in his performance. But as far as the team component, you know, got to go with, you know, Magic Mahomes, if he can stay upright, because the Niners are going to be bringing that heat. So that's the prediction. As far as the Vegas component, where Mark Davis, I've never seen Mark Davis smile so much since he's been in Vegas. He never smiled when he was in that open room, right? That dude is on a 24/7 smile-a-thon, even though he also owns the WNBA team, which, you know, has won world championships. So where the Raiders win, not only is it their stadium, not only when you roll up to that stadium, you'll see their logos and their merch. And so all the people coming to town, this is going to be a boon for Raider merchandise, which always sells well. So Mark Davis and company are getting ready to get the huge cha-ching on merch purchases, and they've been loading off and it's flying off the shelf. So if you got someone from coming in from Holland, coming in from Sweden, you know, coming in from Asia, Thailand, wherever they may be, for the gambling component, and now football's so huge and big in the betting thing, and they want to be affiliated, what will be on the table and the most accessible will be Raider merch.
I'm going to tell you something, Eric. When I worked in the league, and they had the NBA in Manhattan.
Yes, the NBA store, yes.
Folks used to come in there with big suitcases. They brought NBA merchandise like they were gold plates.
The international crowd loves this shit. You know, I mean, if you're coming in from Thailand, if you're coming in from Singapore, right, you know, and you come here, you're not buying that stuff on the rack, but all the energy, the football, the NFL, the buzz, all that shit, all the events, all the Super Bowl events in Vegas, and the most accessible merch that's going to be decadent ever because it's in their hometown city is in Vegas. And I know right now Vegas, the Raider merch is flying off the shelf.
That's exactly right. You can't forget the first Super Bowl I attended. That was 92. That was the year that Arizona wouldn't recognize Martin Luther King's birthday. They sent no Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that.
The players union said, fuck you. They moved it to the Rose Bowl, and California made $300 million in less than a week. Arizona said, oops, my bad.
Excuse me.
And that's when Public Enemy came out with that song, By the Time I Get to Arizona.
That's exactly right.
Remember that, Joy?
By
the time I get to Arizona. They were locking and loading for Arizona Public Enemy back then because of King Holiday.
Yes.
This game Sunday afternoon.
3:30.
What defense plays better? They're gonna score. Both of us are gonna score. That's a given. It's gonna be one play, one quarter, one player on the defense. It's gonna turn this game around. I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs because they have the experience.
You better than me.
They got a very nice secondary, too. My goodness, brothers were balling. How did Baltimore that secondary?
And then I could think of it. Poor Chicago thing changed the Bay Area. After the poor Chicago disaster in 1944, it changed the Bay Area.
Who you got, Patrick?
You know, I got to go with the champ. You know, I'm an old boxing guy. Be the champ.
There you go.
All right, Dad. Gang, what do you say?
You gotta go through
Patrick Mahomes.
I think
a lot of people
close, man. I mean. Shanahan, my goodness gracious. I mean, the nepotism factor with him and McVay just disturbed me.
Yeah.
Because I thought he got their jobs.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
He can't close, man. That dude can't close. I'm out of here. I'm, no Shanahan rants. Okay, I'm done.
No, I'll rant for you. Mike Shanahan is overrated. Put mildly, the boy ain't shit. And the bottom line is, Mahomes is magnificent. He's going to win 3 Super Bowls inside of 6 years. It's kind of hard to do that for anybody. But the fact mm-hmm. that he's black, they'll play it down. Long story short, they can't handle what Patrick Mahomes can do. And if we're looking for a player, Patrick Mahomes was deadly when Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, was in his backfield. He doesn't have a cheetah anymore, but he's got McCole Hartman. He's number 12 in your program. He's faster than Tyreek Hill. He's not had it right for years, but this is the one game where he will get it right. Keep your eye on McCole Hartman. All that said,
Mike, weighing on this for me, because the Chiefs defense has been balling out in the playoffs, right? You know, they didn't want to play Chris Jones the first game of the season. They lost to Detroit. Next game, Chris Jones got his money, right? Next day, he got his money. Their secondary was incredible. Has been just outstanding in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, the kid, and their physical next he really plays well.
The kid, Franco, is number 20. Yeah. What's his name, Clay?
Mike, I got a question before we leave. All right. Let's suppose Fresco wins.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
All right.
Will the defensive coordinator, Wilkes, get a look at a job anyplace?
No.
I'll leave it at
he's
that.
Too black. He's too black. He won't get a head job. It's simply
I mean, Shanahan was. There were subtle rumors when they went on that losing streak of him getting fired and Shanahan not being pleased.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's not Wilkes' defense. It's what Shanahan wants, that he ran under Saleh, that he ran under DeMarco, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Wilkes is just inheriting the Shanahan system and coach.
That's what they'll say. That's
exactly
what they said. That's why if they do win, he'll get a ring, but he won't get the credit. And that's how it is.
It's going to be the great Shanahan and the PM crew, Purdy McCaff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I say Mahomes goes all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Hard man to beat, man. Hard man to beat.
Thank you.
Thank you.